and a certain familiar Twitterati in the air, which can only mean one thing, the arrival and welcome arrival of one Sean Defoe. Good to hear you, Sean. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
And to you, many happy returns. Good to talk to you now for a new year of our COVID 2022. Year of our Lord.
Slight slip up there, but nonetheless, listen, we will forgive you for that. Been an interesting start to the year on Twitter already, Sean.
It has, yeah. I did my usual try to avoid it over Christmas and deleted it and did that social media cleanse, which, I'll be honest with you, I can't recommend enough. I know I'm on with you every week talking about the joys of social media, but there's nothing like switching it off as well, particularly at the moment when everyone's just all angry and oppressive
for sure.
And all that sort of stuff.
And I have to ask you, how did the vegan-esque dinner go with you? Christmas dinner?
Oh, yes, I haven't been talking to you since then.
Explain this now again.
Turkey nowhere in sight. No. So we had, we went over to Jill's sister's for Christmas, and most of the family is vegan, so we had the full vegan dinner, had the nut roast, and just loaded up. But you know what? It was funny. It's the most full I have ever been after a Christmas dinner, because we just had, there was so many bits on the plates between them, four different types of potatoes and all the different veg as well, and then this on top of it. And it was, you know what, it was gorgeous. I was wheeled out of the room. Yeah, absolutely pot-bellied and didn't miss the meat. The one bit I did miss, I won't lie, is the leftover sandwich, because you can't put a nut roast in a sandwich, no matter how much you try.
I'm glad you've come to your senses to some extent there, Sean. Anyway, speaking of food and things that go with it and maybe halfway connected, first man receives a heart from a genetically altered pig. What
this is a
headline.
Mad story, absolutely mad, but potentially huge and transformative.
Sure.
This is 57-year-old fella, life-threatening heart disease in the States, and they transplanted a heart into him, and there was some thought that basically he was so precarious, he was in such a position that they almost didn't want to waste a human heart, that they wouldn't do a human heart at first, and so they had this other option, and they decided to gamble on experimental treatment. So it took a long time to kind of overcome how this was going to be done and how it was going to actually happen, and eventually they did it. They did the transplant with a pig's heart, and it is taken, and he's taken to it. He's recovering well, or certainly as well as you can from any heart surgery. There's obviously a lead in time, no matter whether you're getting a human heart or a pig's heart. Oh, I suppose the long-term prognosis is uncertain, and a lot of people are going to be watching it, because they're looking at, particularly in the States, a lot of the data is in the States, that I think there was more than 40,000 Americans got a transplanted organ last year, and the waiting list was hugely long, about a dozen people dying on their waiting list each day because of organs. And obviously here, not to the same scale, but we would have a similar thing. So if this can be done, then it potentially hugely significant that these organs could be grown. That's without getting into, let's go back to the veganism, the ethics of it all, of course, and whether or not you should be grooming animals to use their hearts to help out Larry, who's been smoking for however long. But very, very interesting regardless from a medical point of view.
Absolutely. When it really seriously is a choice between life or death, I think the decision is kind of made straight away. But anyways.
I thought he's coming out of it, I thought was very funny. The doctor said to him, we can't give you a human heart, you don't qualify, but maybe we can use one from an animal and from a pig. It's never been done before. And then when he kind of was kind of coming to the terms of this, the fella, he said, he asked, well, will I oink?
Oh, in the face of such adversity, to still have a sense of humor. I admire that. I wonder, was his passion for sausages somewhat curved after this?
You do wonder. It's a really weird one. It's an interesting one that it's been done before without much success. Like, so there was a case in the 60s where chimpanzee kidneys were transplanted into human patients, but the longest recipients only lived for 9 months. And then in 1983, a baboon heart was transported into an infant, but she died 20 days later. So they haven't had much success with it, and certainly they're hoping it'll be more successful this time.
Yeah, please God. Looking at other things, I'm just looking at my text machine here, and it says, can you play Please I Want a Garden Party for Boris Johnson, says Paddy. Good one, Paddy. That leads us on nicely to a certain individual who has been setting Twitter alight, certainly yesterday, his resemblance to Harry Enfield as a proper full 100% paid up Tory. Tell us more about him.
I was wondering how we would do the Tories this week, because I mean, it's such a parody of a thing over there, and I just knew we would absolutely have to talk about it. Yeah, this guy appeared on telly, one of the few who actually went out at Conservatives to defend Boris Johnson and this Downing Street boozy party in the middle of lockdown. His name, and now, when I saw this guy on Twitter, and I first just saw it on the video, I know we're going to hear a little bit of it in a second, I thought, this is a skit. This is 100% a skit.
Same here.
This guy, he looks like a Harry Enfield character. character. He has the kind of hair that's almost styled after Boris that looks as though it's 100% a wig. And his name is Michael Fabricant, MP. And I thought, that's made up. That's a Michael Fabricated. That is a name from the Matrix. It doesn't exist.
You couldn't
But he
resist.
Is real. Absolutely real.
Wow. Well, we'll have a little listen to him here. Just a short clip of what he was saying.
But what I'm just trying to get across today is that the view was, undoubtedly, that this wasn't spreading the disease, because these were people who were already working closely together. So going into a secure garden is actually far more safe than working in small cramped offices. As for whether it's guilty or not, as you quite rightly say, that's something that will come out in the next few weeks.
By golly, you have to see it to believe it. Check him out. Give us his name again.
Michael Fabricant, definitely not a made-up human being.
Check him out. Lastly, as we're quickly running out of time, Novak Djokovic, gosh, the storm that he has raised in Australia. In particular, this little clip we're going to play for you was two news anchors, and they were sitting down to do the 6 o'clock news they do of an evening, but they didn't realise that their mics were on, and they were having a little conversation about the news, particularly about Djokovic himself. And this is just a little clip of this. Now, you have to bear with us here, because it's a little, the best kind of version of it I could find. But have a little listen.
Whatever way you look at it, Novak Djokovic is a lying, sneaky... Yes. Like, whatever way you look at it, it's unfortunate that everybody else stuffed up around him.
That's it.
How easy is it to do that for someone who works in broadcast, to leave that mic on inadvertently and be giving your thoughts to the world unbeknownst to yourself?
It's your worst fear, and it's like one of those golden rules. You don't always assume the mic is on. Politicians are always told it when they're getting their advice, and we're always told it. Always assume the mic is on. And it's funny. I don't know about you. Like, we would, you'd often, if it's a song playing or something, you might have a chat with whoever's in the studio, but you're kind of, you're always conscious. The one I find the worst is, and it is always worse when you're in a TV studio, because the cameras are there. You're never quite sure, is something going to be picked up? And there are often
my
people
nose
who
is
say,
very itchy right now.
Oh, there are people who say outrageous things when the mics are off, and that's your worst nightmare, that suddenly something was on and it actually happens. It does happen.
Listen, we're going to play out a little bit of the real Harry Enfield here. He's at a Tory meeting, a sort of a Tory party. So stick with me for a minute here. And he has encountered this young lady who's about to give him her thoughts on a few things, and he's just basically not listening, but he's pretending that he's listening to her conversation.
Yeah.
I think it's important for the purchasers and suppliers to meet face to face, so they can make the personal
No, I'm not at all interested in anything you've got to say, I'm afraid. I'm a very important man. Now, you are a very attractive young lady, and it's nice to have you here for decorative purposes. But you're not very important, so I can't be bothered to talk to you. Do you see? Unless, of course, your father or husband is important, in which case I would be prepared to patronise you for a few minutes for the sake of your important connections.
Oh, Harry Enfield, where would you go? But listen, thank you so much, Sean. We appreciate it, man. Have a great rest of week.
And to you, Happy New Year, Ollie. We'll talk again.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.